And my ears are hearing tonight.
And my ears are hearing tonight.
What you're really speaking to me.
What you're really speaking to me.
Because it's all about what I need.
Because it's all about what I need.
To understand God.
To understand God.
Not as a big judge.
Not as a big judge.
But as a loving father.
As a loving father.
A compassionate father.
Compassionate.
One that loves me unconditionally. And he threw away his big stick a long time ago. In fact, he allowed it to become a cross. So that he could hang his own son.
So he can hang his own son.
To pay for everything.
To pay for everything.
That I've ever done.
That I've ever done.
And I might ever do.
And I might ever do.
All my sins.
All my sins.
Have been dealt with by him.
Have been dealt with by him.
So when he looks at me.
So when he looks at me.
He sees the blood of his son.
He sees the blood of his son.
Covering every failure.
Covering every failure.
Past.
Past.
Present,
present
and future.
And future.
So as I spoke to you earlier, we're going to go to Isaiah, and we're going to look at a couple of verses that I pray will help you to understand a little bit about how God looks at us and what he does. So if you go to Isaiah 41, and you kind of work your way down to verse 8. Notice he's using a scripture here that identifies the same individual with two different names. Do you ever wonder why God chose Simon the fisherman or Peter the fisherman?
The gathering of men.
Simon was his real name.
Right.
But Jesus called him Peter, which is rock.
Yeah, why?
Why? Because the word Simon means very flexible. Every time the wind would blow, he would be like a reed blowing in every direction. And God couldn't use somebody that's like that because there's no stability. So he started calling him Peter. Jacob also means supplanter, meaning someone that's full of tricks, got all kinds of ideas, all kinds of attitudes, and becomes whatever you want to hear. Okay? Israel means the prince with God. So now you've got another man that's got a name or a nature of a sneaky little trickster. And if you read about his story, you'll find that he is full of tricks. He even plays along with his mother to get the firstborn blessing. Kind of snaps it away from his brother. In fact, he passes himself off as his brother to get the blessing and lies to his father. Talk about tricks. Okay? But the Lord changes his mind when he begins to change his name to a prince with God. So listen. But you, O Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. Now, I want you to read the same verse in the Amplified, because I know it's important. Verse 8.
But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend.
Okay. In the NIV, it says, you're descendant of Abraham, my friend. So now he's identifying this man with two different natures, just like we all have two different natures. We have our mind, will, and emotions, which is the soul. Mm-hmm. And then we have our spirit man, which is the real me, the real you. I took you from the ends of the earth, verse 9, from its farthest corners. I called you and I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Mm-hmm. This next part is important, verse 10. B, I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Would you read that amplification, please? Verse 10b. I will strengthen and harden you. Harden you? Kind of cool, huh?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The difficulties. Yes, I.
What?
Two difficulties.
Oh, my goodness. How come that's not in this one? Would you read it again, please, the whole thing?
I will strengthen and harden you to difficulties. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will hold you up and retain you with my victorious right hand of righteousness and justice.
Ooh. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, etc., etc. You know, when God is really apportioning this promise to him, he's really saying, you think you know who you are, but you really don't. Mm-hmm. Okay? Verse 11 says, all who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Which is what our discussion was today. Mm-hmm. Would you read verse 11, sir? Amplified.
Behold, all they who are enraged and inflamed against...
Oh, enraged? Oh my, does that fit the plan, huh?
...are enraged and inflamed against you shall be put to shame and confounded.
Oh.
They who strive against you shall be as nothing and shall perish.
Verse 12. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. So whoever your adversary is, mm-hmm. God's got a plan for them. Can he turn them around? Yes, mm-hmm. he can. Mm-hmm. Can he turn you and me around?
Yes, he can.
Go ahead. Verse 12.
You shall seek those who contend with you and shall not find them. They who war against you shall be as nothing at all.
Keep on going.
For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand, I who say to you, fear not, I will help you.
Okay. 13, I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand, and say to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, O worm Jacob. Now, why would he give him an additional word, right? Worm, meaning wiggler. O little Israel, for I myself will help you, declares the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. See, I will make you into a threshing sledge, new and sharp, with many teeth. You will thresh the mountains and crush them. Mountains are governments. So you need to be aware of that. And reduce the hills to chaff. Those are smaller governments. You will winnow them. The wind will pick them up. Wind is the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Will pick them up, and a gale will blow them away. But you will rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. Did you pick that up in the Amplified, please?
You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away.
Now I want you to back up to 14.
Okay. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you to be a new, sharp threshing instrument having teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small, and shall make the hills as chaff. You shall winnow them, and the wind shall carry them away, and the tempest or whirlwind shall scatter them. And you shall rejoice in the Lord, You shall glory in the Holy One of Israel.
The poor and the needy, 17, search for water, but there is none. Their tongues are parched with thirst. But I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will make rivers flow on barren heights and springs within the valley. I will turn the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into springs. I will put in the desert the cedar and the acacia and the myrtle and the olive trees, obviously. I will set pines in the wasteland and fir and cypress together, so that the people may see and know, may consider and understand that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your arguments. Say, Jacob's king, bring in your idols and tell us what is going to happen. Notice again, he's going a little bit deeper. And I just don't want to focus too much in that area, because what we're looking for is to see the hand of the Lord. And I want you to skip over to verse 27. I was the first to tell Zion, look here, they are. I gave to Jerusalem a messenger of good tidings. I look, but there is no one among them to give counsel, no one to give answers when I ask them. See, they are all false. Their deeds amount to nothing, meaning the false god. Their images are but wind and confusion, meaning Babylon. All the idols that you and I could find will bring you to nothing, because that's basically the message. So I want you to go back now and remember verse 8. But you, O Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen. So it's not you and me choosing, but God choosing us. And we sometimes don't realize how deep that really goes. Why did he choose me? Why did he choose you? Because he's got a plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says God knows the plans he has for us. And he's got a plan to redeem everything in us. Not to let it sit forever into that place of fear where we leave it and it actually festers. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people who have had unbelievable miracles turn right back and relive their lives in a negative way. And they're sad because they want, you know, why did you walk away? Well, it's too much work to go like with what God wants. It's too painful to expose my sin. It's too shaming me because after all, you know. So what is the message to each of us? Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. See, he chose him as a supplanter, but he made him into a prince. That's what he's doing with us. He chose us, but he gave you a crown. He gave you wings to fly like the eagle. And so what is he going to do with you and me? He's going to do his plan if we let him. If we say, no, I don't want to, what do you think he's going to say?
He'll take his hands off.
He'll take his hands off and let you struggle. And you'll struggle. And you'll struggle. It's like somebody that's got a four-wheeler and he's in a mud pit. And he's cranking it for all the money in the world. He's not going anywhere. Except mud's going to be spread all around. Does that help at all? So when we put our trust in God's plan for us, he's telling us, all who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Why? How long will it take for them to get to that place? That's up to God. And it's also up to the individual who makes the choice, because they have a right to their free will. That's what we talked about earlier. Their free will is their gift. If they want to continue their struggle, that's up to them. And for us to respect their decision is a choice we make. Because the emotion says, oh, come on, you've got to be a good believer like me. Right?
Mm-hmm. What does one do with a hypocrite?
What do you do? Love them where they're at.
I tried.
Well, you make the choice to give thanks to that God of heaven who can change the usurpanter, Jacob, and made him into a prince. I had many, many years of watching my parents destroy each other, okay? Until I got to the place, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. This is the will I have for you, son. Give thanks for the way they are. I will change them. So if you've got somebody in your life that's not behaving, just, Lord Jesus, they're all yours. They're all yours because I can't change them, but you will.
He claims to be
well, you, he
so
can make
devout,
any claim, but the
but
fruits are not matching, right?
No, bad.
Okay, then, well, that's again, was Jacob such a good choice?
No.
Was Peter such a good choice? But God said, yes, it is. I have chosen. Okay? So what I'm going to ask you to do is just lift your hands to him right now and just close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus, those that I hold in my heart, I know could be different, and I can't change them. I can't even change me. But I can truly say, I can give thanks
for the way they are.
Even though my mind and my emotions may say, oh, if they were only better. But in reality, even if I try to push, that would be interfering. It would also be control. And I don't want that. So I'm going to thank you for those that I hold in my heart. Praise you for the way they are. Because that's what your word says to do. And I'm going to do what your word says. And bypass my emotions. Bypass my better judgment. And let your hand do a work on them. Like you did with that worm Jacob. And you made him into a prince. So you can do it. Do whatever you have to do, Lord. Heal whatever you need to heal. Because their problem is way too big for me. And I admit it.
And I admit that I'm helpless.
But I'm not hopeless.
Because
you have a plan. To change the worm. And make him. Or her. Into a prince or a princess. Lord. I can be grateful. For what you're doing. Even inside of me. This very night.
This is very nice. Amen.
So today, we're just going to lift up the cup and declare it to be the blood of Jesus Christ. Because it is your blood, Lord, that washed away our sin. I give you praise for the bread. Because it is your bread, you declared it to be your flesh, and we're doing the same. So would you lift your hands towards the gifts and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
we declare that you were broken for us.
You were broken in pieces
so that we could be made whole.
We declare
that the blood of Jesus washed away our sin, every one of them. And we decree not guilty. Because of the blood. Romans 5:9. Say, I'm just.